Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter, PWTorch.com, MMATorch.com, and PWPodcasts.com. PWPodcasts.com is your home for written reports and summaries of wrestling personality-hosted podcasts and the latest utterances and compelling and news-making quotes from people in pro wrestling, usually wrestlers. But sometimes bookers, like Scott D'Amore today, talked about the Impact Wrestling name change from TNA to Global Force Wrestling, and is he still on the writing team, and how does he think that they're doing? So check that out, pwpodcast.com, new stuff every day. I said it yesterday. We looked up the clicks per visit count. It's the highest I've ever seen for any of our websites. People who go to that site stick around and click around. So check it out. See what you're missing. pwpodcast.com. You will learn a lot about things you didn't even know there were things to learn about when it comes to professional wrestling, and it can help you choose what podcast you might listen to after you're done with all the Torch-related podcasts. And speaking of which, soon we'll be getting to SmackDown, by the way. The show just concluded a few minutes ago. But this is a very big week for me. It is my final week hosting PW Torch livecasts. This is my final post-SmackDown livecast that I'm hosting alone. It'll be me and you, the callers, who are choosing to call, and those of you listening live today. Because next week, it's very exciting, I move to Podcast One and my new show, The Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, aptly named. I'm the host, and I'm going to be talking about pro wrestling. That's over at Podcast One, and I'm very excited about the move and all the opportunities that come with it, including being a guest analyst every single week on the number one pro wrestling podcast, and that is the Steve Austin Show Unleashed. You can hear me every Thursday on that program. Right now, though, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast is the number one pro wrestling podcast in iTunes. It's ranked 21 out of all pro wrestling podcasts. Number 2 and 3 are both of Steve Austin's podcasts. So I'm in good company here at the top. And more Podcast One shows in a lot of Podcast One shows in the top 30, 40 shows here in iTunes. So it's great to join the Podcast One family, and I hope you'll follow me over there. It's really simple. However you are listening to this right now, if it's on iTunes or a podcast app, all you have to do is enter Wade Keller in the search box, and or pro wrestling, whichever you want, but Wade Keller probably will bring it up more specifically and quicker. Look it up, and you'll see this light blue logo with my face on it. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast logo, and I'm the one in the black shirt. I'm the only one in the picture. And click subscribe, and you're all set. And next Monday night, I'll be watching Raw and recording a show much like these live casts with guest co-hosts that are familiar to you. In fact, Jason Powell has agreed, and I'm very happy that he is adjusting his schedule to do so. He'll be joining me as the first ever co-host on my first ever Podcast One program covering next Monday's episode of Raw, which is a big one. It's like WWE kind of set it up for me, right? Yeah, no, they didn't think twice about it. Not even once about it, probably. Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, and the Kurt Angle reveal. What's going on with him? Is it Dixie Carter? Is it something else? We talked about that at length yesterday. That show will be available, you know, right around midnight Eastern, maybe 1 a.m. Eastern. It's going to, you know, depends on how long our show goes. It'll be downloadable around the same time that this show has been downloadable. The big difference is we won't be live. Those of you who did listen live won't be able to listen live to us. But we will be recording, we will be taking your emails, and we will be calling correspondents who attend Raw and SmackDown on Monday and Tuesday nights and incorporating them into the show. Speaking of which, we have some correspondents for Nashville next Monday, but we don't have anybody lined up for SmackDown next Tuesday. So if you're attending SmackDown in person next Tuesday or any of the upcoming weeks, we can stay organized with Google Calendar and line you up. We'll call you and incorporate you into the show and get your in-person perspective and thoughts on the show. So it's a way to keep that caller interaction and something that's very popular on the show, which is hearing from people who attend the shows live and in person and telling us what happened with the crowd and what happened off camera, what happened before the taping, after the show went off the air, that kind of thing. Jason Paul joining me next week for the post-Raw show. Co-host number two, 1 week from tonight, will be Travis Bryant, Pro Wrestling Torch columnist, also host of the Wednesday East Coast Cast, which is available at eastcoastcast.com. They talk pro wrestling and much else. It is an adult perhaps unleashed, if I may borrow the term, version of Travis Bryant. And so if you're so inclined, check it out. It's long, and it's good, and it's interesting, and it's thought-provoking. It's a lot of fun. That's eastcoastcast.com if you want more information on Travis's weekly show. But he'll be joining me as guest co-host next Tuesday. And then Bruce Mitchell, Torch senior columnist, will be joining me on the first flagship edition, which will now drop on Thursdays, not midday Wednesday. It'll drop Thursday, same time. So Tuesday, just past midnight, the Raw show drops. Wednesday morning, just past midnight, so a couple hours after SmackDown ends, a few hours after SmackDown ends, the SmackDown show will drop. Thursday, just past midnight, the midweek flagship will drop. And then Fridays, we're moving our interviews back to Fridays. It'll be Interview Friday from now on, just past midnight. You can download our interview so you can go to sleep to it or wake up to it. 4 days a week, the four shows I do now, becoming available around the same time, our post-Raw and post-SmackDown shows, and then spacing out a little bit our Wednesday and Thursday shows, midday, move to first thing Thursday, first thing Friday. So again, search Wade Keller, do it right now, sign up, and hey, if you all do that, you actually might be able to move us to number one or number two or three or four or five maybe. We made it to number 10 last week after I first announced this new show on the Steve Austin Show Unleashed. We were up to number 10, but I don't think we broke, we landed any higher than that. It'd be really cool to get into the top five in iTunes. But it would take a lot of people all at once, not only clicking subscribe on the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast in iTunes, but also what makes a difference in their mystery formula is leaving a review and giving us a 5-star rating. So thanks to the dozens of you who have done that already. We'd love to make that hundreds of you. So go to iTunes if you've got that on your computer and subscribe first and foremost, and then hit 5 stars, and then even better, leave a review. What is it that you like about the show that compelled you to sign up? I know I'm kind of plug heavy here, but it's a big week for me in the transition, and I really want to be clear that it's important if you want to keep hearing me talk about the things that I talk about with my co-hosts and guests. You've got to now subscribe to a new free podcast over at Podcast One. I'm very excited about it and very excited about what we have planned, and I think you will like it. There'll be some changes, some tweaks, nothing too big, but I think some good improvements to the show and some cool concepts for our show going forward. So check that out. Now, that does not mean the PW Torch Livecast is going away. It's just changing, but it's changing in a pretty cool way. If you go to pwtorchlivecast.com, there's a rundown of the new schedule. A number of these shows will be starting next week, maybe all of them. We're still kind of working that out. But the new format is going to be Sundays. Every Sunday now, Pat McNeil and Greg Parks will have a show. If it's a pay-per-view Sunday, they'll have a post-pay-per-view show as usual. That doesn't change. They'll be taking your calls and analyzing the show themselves. On non-pay-per-view nights, though, their show is going to start at 8 Eastern, and it's called Wrestling Night in America with Pat and Greg. And they're going to talk about big events. The theme of the show will continue to be pay-per-views. They're going to talk about WWE pay-per-views, ones that just took place, ones that are taking place a week or two down the line, or they'll speculate on SummerSlam and look ahead. Same thing for NXT TakeOver specials, ROH pay-per-views, Evolve specials, and GFW, Bound for Glory, coming up. They'll talk about all that, or a special edition of Impact that's really built up. So it's all about big events, Wrestle Kingdom. So yeah, it's Sundays, it's going to be Wrestling Night in America with Pat and Greg, 8 Eastern. Join them live or on demand a couple hours afterwards. Mondays, it's going to be MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans with Mike Hisko and company, and that will also include the return of Sean Ennis, a charter columnist with MMATorch.com, who also was a co-host frequently on the former MMA Torch podcast. He is a longtime pro wrestling fan, a longtime PW Torch reader, and he's also a contributor to MMATorch.com. He'll be joining Mike on some weeks for that show. The concept of the show is there's going to be some pro wrestling talk mixed in with MMA. They're going to talk about MMA like we talk about pro wrestling. Talk about the personalities, the rivalries, the feuds, the hype. Evaluate the announcing. How are they doing? You know, a lot of fight fans, they just care about the X's and O's, so to speak. And this show's going to be more about the I don't want to say entertainment value because X's and O's are entertaining. But the hype, the personalities, the bravado, and that aspect of it. And of course, talk about crossover wrestlers, whether it's Stefan Bonner getting into pro wrestling or CM Punk getting into MMA. So that's going to be on Mondays. Tuesdays is Best of PW Torch Livecast. That's going to be fun. Every Tuesday, we'll have a new Best of show dropping from our 7.5-year history. You never know what you're going to get, but it's going to be good shows. And I'm looking forward to going through our own archives and picking them out and representing them to a lot of our new listeners. These will be big-name interviews and big stories that we covered and big events that we covered. It's going to be fascinating to go back in time and perhaps, for instance, hear our SummerSlam show from 5 years ago, or what we said after CM Punk did the pipe bomb promo. So that's going to be a new feature starting next week on PW Torch Livecast. Wednesday, I can announce something that I did not have finalized last night, which is the PW Torch Nostalgia Show returning with Jim Valley. It used to be Saturday mornings. He's now moving to Wednesdays. We're still going to lock down the time. You can check pwtorchlivecast.com for that updated time. But Jim Valley returning as host of the Livecast, doing another Nostalgia Show with guests and co-hosts and, yes, your phone calls. That'll be every Wednesday. And then Thursdays, the one thing that's staying the same with no change. Everything else is familiar and similar. Well, the MMA show's brand new. But Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek will continue to host the Thursday night post-Impact Livecast. You can still call and talk to them about Impact after it airs. And then Saturday, I skipped Friday because if you didn't hear yesterday, I fired Bruce Mitchell. I fired Torch senior columnist Bruce Mitchell from hosting the PW Torch Livecast. But Rich Fan will now host his show. He'll have his own name, his own face on his own podcast logo, all that good stuff. And it's called The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. And he is going to be going in-depth on a single topic each week. And that will include, some weeks, in-depth coverage of New Japan and Progress Wrestling, two promotions he has a passion for. But it'll also include a wide array of other topics. Serious stuff, lighthearted stuff, worst title reigns ever, best title reigns ever, sexism in wrestling, race in wrestling. You'll pick a single topic, do some research, bring on a guest, take your calls, take your emails. I'm really excited about this show, and I know Rich is too. That's our new lineup. So Rich moving from Fridays to Saturdays, Andrew and Mike staying in the same spot, Jim Valley returning to do his nostalgia show, and Pat and Greg moving to every week instead of just every 2 or 3 weeks. Plus the best of and the and then MMA Torch essentially moving over to the Livecast lineup with a new host, Mike Kisco. So there you have it. That is the update on a lot of things going on. Check out pwtorchlivecast.com for a full rundown of the new shows. I'm very excited to be a listener now of the PW Torch Livecast and hosting my own show at Podcast One. So I hope you'll stick around for all the new shows. Something there and probably everything there is of interest to you and is going to be good stuff. And, of course, subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. All right, I had to get that business out of the way. This is a big week. We don't want to leave anybody behind or anybody confused. And we had some new news there with the Jim Valley announcement. Now, and by the way, Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, there's going to be a lot of talk about that on MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling fans on Monday nights. The big press conference just concluded in L.A. Torch contributor Sean Valentino was there and has a report that he submitted, and we'll be putting that up on pwtorch.com and mmatorch.com, one or the other or both, later tonight. So look for that. Thanks, Sean, for sending that in already. All right. Well, on SmackDown tonight, not quite as newsworthy of a show as we had with Raw last night. That said, we had John Cena, and AJ Styles came out at the beginning, issued a U.S. title open challenge. John Cena answered it. We're going to get a match, it looked like. But then Kevin Owens and then Rusev interfered. The match was off. AJ and Cena teamed up instead against Rusev and Owens in the main event. AJ and Cena winning, Cena endorsing AJ a couple of times and putting him over, so to speak, raising his arm in the air. But Cena made it clear he might come after that U.S. title someday. So that was one big happening on the show. We'll get into more of the segments on the show as we move forward, more battleground developments, including an angle with Baron Corbin and Shinsuke. Women's match set up for Battleground coming up a week from Sunday. A little Sami Zayn, Mike and Maria Kanellis angle. We had the Fashion Files, this time with a Western setting because of being in San Antonio. I can't look away on those. I mean, I feel a little guilty afterwards, but I enjoy them. I would never fast forward through them. There's always a line that cracks me up in those. So anyway, you can read my detailed reports, by the way, and this will continue. That's not changing. On pwtorch.com, every Monday night and every Tuesday night, I will be reporting Raw and SmackDown live on pwtorch.com. So keep checking that out also, pwtorch.com. You can read my Raw and SmackDown report live as they happen. Get my not only a rundown of what's happening, but my analysis of it. You can do it during the show or catch up later or later in the week. All right, we're going to take calls on this show. So we're going to go to our first break. When we come back, it's going to be heavy on phone calls today. We'll also be checking the email box. So if you're listening and can't call, you can email pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. We've got a lot of people on hold. Tomorrow, Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net joins me for the final edition that I'll host of the midweek flagship edition of the PW Torch Livecast, because that'll be moving to Thursdays at Podcast One. Jason joining me tomorrow, and I really look forward to talking to him about everything going on in WWE, GFW, Impact Wrestling, TNA, ROH, and more. So check us out. That's at 1 Eastern tomorrow. Also, check my Twitter feed, @TheWadeKeller and @PWTorch. We're hoping to confirm a pretty cool first-time guest for my final edition of Interview Thursday here at PW Torch Livecast. And that news will be on my Twitter feed as soon as it's confirmed, @TheWadeKeller and also @PWTorch. Follow both. I'm sure we'll post it in one place and retweet it the other. And you can also check pwtorchlivecast.com, our main website for this show, with links to all the shows, and that will continue to be the case. So that's the lineup for me the rest of the week. Solo tonight, Jason Powell tomorrow, and a special guest that I'm excited about on Thursday for the grand finale of Interview Thursday at PW Torch Livecast. All right, so we'll go to break, and when we come back, we're going to go right to your phone calls, so hang tight if you've been on hold. And thanks, everybody. Well, I dealt with kind of all this business, but I hope it clears things up and makes it clear how what's happening next week, that are exciting things here at the Livecast, and what's happening with me, and how to listen to me continually going forward at the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast at Podcast One. You can also find my show at the Podcast One website. Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch Livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link, and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you. If you have tried supporting us when you shop at Amazon before and had some trouble with the link on your mobile device or certain browsers, that should be fixed. So go check it out. It's easy, one-click access. pwtorch.com/Amazon is where we encourage you to start your Amazon shopping. All you have to do, there's a big Amazon logo. You just tap that, you click that, boom, you go to Amazon's website. You shop away as you would normally, but we get a commission. You pay the same price, but we get a slice of the profit from Amazon in exchange for mentioning them here on the program. We only get something if you shop at Amazon by starting at pwtorch.com/Amazon. All right, let's go to our first caller of the day. Kylan from New Jersey, one of the longest-running callers here on the Livecast, is the first caller on my final live SmackDown show. Kylan, how's it going?
Very well, Wade. Congratulations on your big accomplishment of going to Podcast One. I'm looking forward to joining you next week.
Thank you, Kylan. I very much appreciate it. Are you looking forward to some of the new shows that are being added to the Livecast lineup and some of the changes?
Very, very much so. I'm mostly looking forward to Jim coming back because I had some things that I promised to help him on when he was doing Saturday mornings, and we couldn't get those lined up, so maybe this is an opportunity for me to fulfill those finally.
Excellent. Well, what's on your mind regarding SmackDown tonight, Kylan?
Okay, my first thing is I was impressed by AJ Styles' promo. To me, he exemplifies how baby faces should always be portrayed off of big title wings. So whoever was in charge of that promo gets a gold star for me. My question specific to that is, if AJ wins the rematch at Battleground, what's next for the United States title? For my first question.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think AJ retains the title, and I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't end up doing a U.S. title open challenge. And I wouldn't be surprised, I'm just throwing this out there, if we don't end up with Mojo Rawley at some point, maybe not right away, having a feud with AJ Styles. I like what I'm seeing with Mojo Rawley, and I would not have predicted saying this 5 months ago or 10 months ago. I like Mojo. He kind of owns a room when he's in it. He's kind of the alpha male. Zack Ryder's I was not a fan of the hype bros energy and personas, but when Mojo turns it down and isn't just all smiles, hey, all zany and over the top, but actually kind of in serious mode, I think there's a reason to push that guy. And so I like what I see. And I think AJ against Mojo makes some sense in that it's a fresh opponent for AJ. Mojo's going to be bigger than AJ. He's going to be a freshly turned heel. Vince McMahon has shown he's not scared to push somebody who wasn't getting pushed before. Case in point, Jinder Mahal. So that kind of intrigues me. Now, I wouldn't rule out Jinder Mahal ends up losing his championship. Maybe back to Randy Orton at Battleground, probably not. But I'm not ruling anything out. But I could see AJ eventually feuding with Jinder Mahal, who decides he wants the U.S. title now that he's getting cheated out of world title matches. I'll go after the United States title. And he can do a whole promo about how, you know, it would please him to represent the red, white, and blue with the India flag and, you know, get heat that way. So I wouldn't rule that out. Baron Corbin's going to finish up with Shinsuke. So an AJ Baron Corbin feud could make sense. I don't have anybody specifically in mind, although, I mean, Rusev too. You know, Cena's not going to be around after SummerSlam so for a while. So Rusev's going to he's going to need to feud with somebody. AJ's a fresh feud, and they cross paths this week, so maybe that wasn't an accident, and maybe Rusev is the one who's actually up first, Kylan.
That makes sense. My second question is, what's next for the SmackDown Women's Division if we are through with Lana? Or are we not yet?
They didn't really answer any questions tonight, Kylan, about Lana and what her relationship and dynamic is meant to be with Tamina. I think it was Byron Saxton who asked afterwards, after their tag match tonight, or after Tamina's tag match, he's like, what's the deal? I still don't understand what's going on between Tamina and Lana. But beyond that, not a lot of conversation. So that's a mystery, not quite a Kurt Angle-level mystery, but still a mystery. As far as that goes, I don't think Lana's going to be in any women's world title matches anytime soon. So, I mean, obviously they set up a five-way women's match at Battleground. Winner gets a title shot against Naomi at SummerSlam. I think just about anybody could possibly win that. It seems like Charlotte would be due, but then you could say it seems like Becky would be due, but they're both baby faces, so I think it's more likely Tamina. I don't know if that's going to be a great match. I wouldn't be against Natalya, but Natalya just sort of seems sometimes like she's there for to be kind of the obnoxious heel, do a little bit of comedy, but not be taken seriously. At some point, it'd be nice to see her get a title reign. It seems like, as the kind of the veteran and respected worker in that group, if Naomi can be champion and Carmella can be the Money in the Bank winner, why can't Natalya have a title reign? So I wouldn't rule that out either. I'm not really honing in on one answer, Kylan, but I would say Tamina would be my first choice. And I mean, my vote would be to turn Charlotte back heel, and I wouldn't rule that out either. So she would be a wild card in there. And what's number three, Kylan?
And final question, since we did not get a full understanding what's going to happen there. Is it possible that we could see a long-term program between Shinsuke Nakamura and Baron Corbin, where perhaps Shinsuke, if he gains some positive momentum, rests the Money in the Bank briefcase away from Baron Corbin?
I hope that they don't do something where the Money in the Bank is at stake. I think that you want to protect that the Money in the Bank winner is the person who actually cashes it. I don't like that being defended like a title or being put at stake in that way. But that said, I mean, if somehow AJ Styles ends up as world champion early next year, and somehow Shinsuke ends up with Money in the Bank, and Shinsuke just says, you know, I'm cashing in the Money in the Bank briefcase, but I'm not going to do it after AJ wrestles. I want to win it fair and square, and I'm cashing it in at WrestleMania. Then that would free up the Royal Rumble winner to be facing Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns, whomever is the Universal Champion, or whoever. Yeah, maybe somebody else, but probably not. So, I mean, you could see a storyline like that happen. And, I mean, if that's the end result, then I guess I would make an exception because I want to see Shinsuke against AJ in a high-stakes match. They'll probably wrestle at WrestleMania. I'd like to see high stakes with the world title on the line and maybe Shinsuke cashing in Money in the Bank ahead of time. So, I mean, there's a possibility of that, but it could be, like you said, a long view, too. Kylan, thanks so much. It's always great having you on the show.
Thank you, Wade.
And I look forward to hearing you call the other live cast shows when I'm over at Podcast One. Take care.
Take care.
All right. It's Kylan from New Jersey. Now let's go to Kenny in Gallatin. How you doing, Kenny? How are things out in Tennessee?
Hey, Wade, I'm doing good. I watched the whole show SmackDown. I'm actually watching a little bit of 205 Live, and they got a Jack Gallagher impersonator on right now, but you know, it's like one of those you know, bad attempts at personators.
Oh man,
I think I know who it is. It's I can't believe his name is passing me by. Brian Kendrick. So it looks like he and Jack Gallagher kind of have a feud right now, so I'm just kind of giving a little bit away for 205 Live without actually giving the real results of it.
Yep, that works.
Anyway, I tell you, Wade, I don't know what was more hard to watch, that whole first 30 minutes of SmackDown Live for me, or watching Sano hit out of my one of my favorite players for the Dodgers, Alex Wood, in the All-Star game. But I got to say, you know, a part of the problem, I figured you'd get a kick out of that, being that it was a Minnesota win. So.
Absolutely, yeah.
But the problem I really noticed in watching SmackDown, or really just all the main WWE programming, is just, it's like the heels, they start off early, in a sense. You know, it's like the first couple of segments, you know, was pretty much dominated by the heels. It's like Cena and Styles were really just not had a chance to kind of come back and to retaliate until the end. Now, in the end, it made sense. So at least I got to give WWE credit for that, that they would, and ultimately, they would wrestle in a tag team match. But I got to say, you know, it's like throwing Ty Dillinger out against Jinder Mahal. And, you know, it's like the public kind of knew. It's like they knew he wasn't going to beat Mahal or anything like that. It was just kind of like, it's almost like a throwaway match. It really didn't mean nothing in the grand scheme of things other than it gave Mahal a chance to cut a scathing promo and so forth. And, you know, like Nakamura and Corbin, too, which kicked off the second hour. I mean, it's just like they're giving away these throwaway matches on SmackDown Live, which in reality, like that Nakamura Corbin, you could build that up for Battleground. And that just really frustrates me when I watch SmackDown Live. It's actually the first time I watched a whole episode of SmackDown Live in a long, long time, because I normally work during the nights, of course. And I want to get your opinion. Do you think it was wise for them, that Nakamura and Corbin, to sort of have a match, I guess you can say, you know, right before Battleground as a way to kind of build up that match at Battleground?
Yeah, it taps into something that I didn't like about the show. I first of all, I do believe if you have a really big matchup and between two wrestlers who fans haven't seen wrestle each other at all or much, and you just put it out there, and you don't hype it on social media, you don't hype it a week ahead of time, you don't have it in a vignette or a commercial on Raw, it does define it down a little bit. You know, if because fans know if it's a really, really, really big game, it's going, or excuse me, a big fight, it's going to be hyped ahead of time. So when you just put Shinsuke and Corbin out there, it diminishes it a bit. That said, I'm glad that they didn't really give it away, that they just brawled. Because I think that's not a match you should give away on TV. You know, it's one thing to give away Ziggler and Nakamura after they have their pay-per-view match, but Corbin, Nakamura, period, should be saved for pay-per-view. So this was their way of hyping it. I thought it was somewhat unimaginative, and I also thought it was bad judgment in the sense that they already teased a match and then did not deliver with Cena and AJ. And so if you tease a match and don't deliver, and by the way, there was no good reason for them, well, I shouldn't say, there was a sort of good reason for them not to wrestle in the sense that they both kind of got beat up a little bit by Rusev and Owens, but they could have had that match later. Cena wanted to fight Styles. Styles accepted the challenge. If they're able to wrestle a tag match later, why not give us a U.S. title match? They just sort of put it out there, and as if it's just, well, it's obvious if Rusev and Owens attack AJ and Cena, then AJ and Cena should not wrestle each other in a match people would rather see. The heels now will have to wrestle them. So I wish they would have done a segment backstage where they're like Cena and AJ were, you know, Shane met with Cena and AJ and said, all right, guys, we still want to do this match later. And, you know, we're not going to let Rusev and Owens ruin it. And then Cena and AJ just kind of looked at each other and said, or Cena looked at AJ and said, you know what? I'll fight you another day, AJ, but I think we got some business to take care of with a couple guys who stuck their nose where it didn't belong. And Shane kind of smiles and says, I was kind of wondering that too. I kind of think Rusev and Owens need a lesson taught to them, and you're the perfect two guys to do it. Make fans feel good about the match. Have a segment backstage where it's not just thrown together like, well, since it didn't happen originally, there's no way it can happen. And that's kind of how I felt then again with Corbin and Nakamura. Why do they not wrestle? I mean, Joe attacked Lesnar before the bell, Samoa Joe on Sunday, and then they restored order, checked on Lesnar, he said yes, and the match went on. So why did that not happen tonight with Shinsuke and Baron Corbin? Unless I missed something, I don't think there was a good reason why that was handled differently. Corbin left, and the announcers just took it for granted that, oh, I guess the match won't happen because they brawled at ringside beforehand. Kenny, do you remember anything that I missed in that would make it different than Joe Lesnar?
No, not really. I guess it's just because, you know, people kind of expect it from Joe and Lesnar more than, let's say, Nakamura and Corbin in terms of the styles. I just think that, you know, to me, it was just all, you know, built and hyped and for nothing. And it was kind of similar in a way to what I saw, like, with the New Day and the Usos, and then, you know, they had that one-on-one match, and then you just throw them out. You know, it's just kind of stuff like that. Like you said, it just kind of, they do these little things to kind of mess with you in a way as a wrestling fan. It's like, oh, what are they going to do next type of scenarios? And I mean, that kind of threw me off during that whole, really just that whole first hour. It kind of got better during the second hour, but I do kind of agree with what you said about Charlotte. I think it is time to try to test the waters and see if she can be a heel again. She's definitely looking like she wants to try that again. She did the strut and the high knee drop that her dad does so well.
Yeah.
I mean, those are little tidbits that I took away from just watching that match. And it's like, it was so funny, you know, like watching like Shane trying to copy Kurt Angle, you know, with the cell phone, and then boom, you have like the entire women's division again. I just don't get it, Wade. You know, it's like they have the whole women's division on during that one segment. I mean, you know, it's like a reap of desperation in the sense of like, we got to have all these women on. And I'm like, no, you know, there's no reason to have Lana back again. She's already been beaten twice by Naomi. I mean, there's no reason to put her back in the same scenario, especially when you got Becky Lynch, who you really need to push more strongly as a strong babyface, or somebody that is sort of a babyface but has the heelish tendencies. I mean, if anybody has that, it's Becky Lynch.
Well, I was critical of this segment, too, in my report on pwtorch.com, the written report. In my analysis after the segment, I just said, you know, why? There's too often that all the women show up, either in the ring or backstage together. And it just feels like, you know, assembling a class of kids. It's like, hey, everybody show up. And then what's worst What's worse than that is they all stand perfectly on the right little X's on the floor, so to speak, so that the camera can film all of them. Nobody's blocking anybody, and it looks totally unnatural. And then, even worse, it leads to the dialogue that's just so phony, where everybody takes their turns and has their little quip, and their comeback already, and it just feels orchestrated. And then, I don't know if this is worst of all, but what you said, Shane McMahon looks foolish when he puts Lana in the match. Lana lost twice to Naomi. Quickly, decisively, there is no storyline reason, no justification at all for her to be in that match. The only reason she got a title match in the first place is because she asked for it and Naomi said, yeah, I'll give you a chance. I'll defend my title against you, because Naomi wanted it. Now, to me, what should have happened, if Vince McMahon is just set on Lana being in this match because he's invested so much time in vignettes and she's beautiful and, you know, whatever other reasons that could be for him wanting her in there, whatever his plans are for, have a babyface insist that she's in there. And, what you could do is have Lana have been obnoxious or irritating to either Becky or Charlotte. So Becky and Charlotte say, hey, Shane, don't forget about Lana. And Shane's like, no, she lost twice. She doesn't deserve it. And then just have Becky and Charlotte just lobby for it and go, no, you know, the more the merrier. And Shane's like, shrugs his shoulders. Even that I don't like, but at least there's some explanation, and it's not on Shane for just thinking it's a good idea. Why should everybody get an equal chance? So, yeah, I was not a fan of that. They moved the storyline forward efficiently, but it didn't do much for me. I mean, I was kind of irritated by the way that works. So I had a lot of same thoughts that you had, Kenny. Kenny, appreciate the call. Always good to talk to you.
Oh, I appreciate the call too. And like you said, good luck on Podcast One. But I really am liking the new schedule. Obviously, I can kind of see why. You know, I was looking at the schedule. It looks really, really good, especially with Jim Valley having a show on Wednesdays. You know, I guess it's hard to get anything on Fridays because, you know, like that. It used to old saying in TV, you know, like the Friday night death slot, you know, type of deal. But you never say never in wrestling. But I like the new schedule. I like, you know, the chance we're going to go back into some of the archives. And, you know, just wish you the best luck on Podcast One. And I've already got you subscribed. And if I want to recommend an app for it, it'd be Downcast. I would recommend that. It'd be a great app for any wrestling fan who likes their podcast, especially with those on Podcast One. So you have a good rest of the night, Wade.
Kenny, great. I always appreciate your contributions. All right, Kenny in Gallatin, Tennessee. And now we go to our second break. But when we come back, Darrell from Georgia and Kenny from Mobile, Alabama. And then we'll be going to Ottawa, Canada and Philadelphia after that. So stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back right after this. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. All right, we are back. If there's anything that I talked about here on tonight's show or last night with Greg Parks on the post-Raw episode of the live cast that you want to comment on or ask a follow-up question, email pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. That's pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. And maybe Jason Powell and I will get to it on tomorrow's midweek flagship. All right, if you haven't yet, during these breaks, it's a good time to go to your podcast app and subscribe to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. Just enter Wade Keller in the search box, and the light blue Wade Keller logo will show up. Click subscribe, and you are all ready and set for next week, so you can catch me analyzing next week's SmackDown with our post-SmackDown edition of the podcast. All right, as promised, up next, Darrell from Georgia. Darrell, welcome back to the live cast. What's on your mind after SmackDown tonight?
How you doing today, tonight, Wade? And congratulations on the show.
Well, thank you. I'm doing well, and I appreciate the congratulations.
Yes, and I've already subscribed. I'm waiting on the first episode to drop. You know, soon that drop, I'm giving it 5 stars. five stars and a great review.
Excellent. Thank you.
So yeah. my first and only question for you tonight really is with the women's division. I know they have Carmella with the briefcase, and they have her trying to petition to get James Ellsworth back. My whole fear was that they're going to have this to keep her off television for the 30 days. Do you think this is something that they're might do? And if they do that, do you think that's a mistake in cooling off her heat? And should they got rid of James Ellsworth? Is he a big part of her getting heat also? And that's it for me.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think I like the decision to suspend James Ellsworth, because I think you want to show that there's ramifications for defying the orders of the general manager, the commissioner, an authority figure. And frankly, I think there's going to be some anticipation for the return of James Ellsworth. I think he'll likely serve the full suspension, and Carmella's going to be fine without him. I think she can be obnoxious without him, especially as she tries to beg Shane McMahon to bring him back early. I enjoyed Shane ripping up the legal letter. He certainly thought it was somewhat fraudulent or without merit. So no, I'm fine with it. I think she'll be fine, and it gives her a chance to, it gives us a chance to let absence make the heart grow fonder. We'll miss James a little bit before he comes back, but before long, don't worry, he'll be back, and he'll be annoying us once again, Darrell. All right, let's go to Kenny in Mobile, Alabama. By the way, our phone number 515-605-9345. When you call, push 1 on your Touchtone phone if you want to be in the caller queue. It's my final time hosting the live cast on Tuesday night, taking calls. So if you've been shy before and you're listening but not calling, call up and say hi and talk about SmackDown. All right, Kenny, welcome to the show once again.
Hey, Wade. I'm going to give you a congratulations like everybody else. And I have a listener of the PW Torch podcast and a VIP member for the articles. So I'm super happy for you. And I know you guys at Torch work really hard to bring this really good content. So I'm really happy all this happening for you, bud.
Excellent. I really appreciate it. I sincerely do.
Yeah, I had two topics. First, Jinder Mahal. I'm just not feeling it. I mean, I kind of look on Raw, and I see Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe. You know, that's just, you know, a whole lot of talent, you know, strong talent right there. And then you got on SmackDown, to me, that's such a Lesnar, Samoa Joe, and Reigns is such a huge step up from Jinder Mahal. I understand they're building him with this championship run, but I really think they just made a mistake on not building him before, because I'm not buying. He comes out there every week, he says the same thing, and he says he's speaking the truth, and we don't like him because he's from a different country, and then the USA champ start, and I'm just kind of getting over it. And I know you brought it before the ratings taking a dive, but I agree. I think that's why a lot of people probably left when he became number one contender. What are your thoughts?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. I was against the decision, and I think that it hurt SmackDown. I think it's pretty clear AJ Styles is the top star of this brand among the full-time guys. John Cena right there is a part-time guy. I thought it was interesting. John Cena acknowledged that he's going away. And again, you know, he just told Styles, you might want to issue that U.S. title challenge when I'm gone again. Just admitting, yeah, I'm not going to be here all the time. I mean, it's fine, it's a reality, but it's just interesting he would even draw attention to that. He's owning it. But yeah, I mean, it's not the Jinder Mahal show, so that's good, I guess. But, you know, generally you want your world champion to be the centerpiece of the show, and it doesn't feel like Jinder's the centerpiece of the show. It feels like Jinder happens to have the world title, and he's a SmackDown wrestler who, you know, wrestles and beats people like Ty Dillinger, but he doesn't really come across as the guy who's the captain of the ship, the leader of the locker room, and the most dominant wrestler. I think given where they started with him and what he has to offer, I mean, I think they get a passing grade for what they've done to push him. You know, the announcers talk him up. I mean, gush about him. JBL says, you know, he doesn't just look the part, he's wrestling the part. when JBL puts over Jinder having a world champion body, I'm just wondering, does that mean JBL shouldn't have been world champion? Because JBL had a very different body than Jinder. I didn't know there was such a thing as a world champion body, but I mean, I get the point he's making, but it tends to focus in on something that sometimes we shake our head at when it comes to Vince McMahon's checklist for who he prefers to be champion. I think Jinder's carrying himself well. I think he's been more aggressive in the ring. I think he's fallen back less on the snarl. I mean, it's still there, but doesn't feel like that. It's just cartoonishly the only thing he's doing, kind of like Zack Ryder's half lip smile, half mouth smile. That's just kind of his signature. Oh, look at me. Look at my half smile. Aren't I cute? Squeeze my cheek. Like, that's the extent of Zack Ryder's character sometimes. You know, and he's a nice undercard underdog, but you don't get the sense there's a lot of depth there. I was worried in a different level. That's what we'd have with Jinder. And with a raspy voice, that made it hard to hear. And the character that was so focused on basically telling fans, if you boo me, you're a racist, which is not true, but might hurt. It doesn't mean it's true if people boo you, but it framed it that way. There are a lot of things I didn't like about it. I liked the augmentation this week where he said, you're booing me, and the first thing he said is that he's a man of excellence. And I like that. I think that his heritage from India should be happenstance. And it can be sort of implied that there's something there about him that you might not like based on his culture, the way that he is arrogant about it, and leave it for kind of people to decide. But to frame it overtly as such is bad. So I like the idea of just Jinder just portraying himself as being superior, being excellent, being a man of excellence. And I would rather have that be his approach. But all that said, like I said, a passing grade, because I think he's been aggressive in the ring. He's carrying himself well. He looks and acts like a world champion. If you just became a WWE fan in the last month, I don't think you'd look and go, oh, why is this guy world champion? You wouldn't know his history of doing jobs. You wouldn't know that backstory. But ultimately, he'd be better off had they built him up ahead of time as being on a hot streak. And this is a new version of him and told that story. I think that would have been better and more effective for him. Kenny, anything else?
Well, I mean, like tonight, the focus seemed to be on the United States title, and I like that they're trying to make the secondary titles more important, but you would think if your most over guy, AJ Styles, you know, has the United States title, and you know, that's the fans, as a fan who's watched wrestling over the years, you know, like, people want the guy who's bringing in the money and the best wrestler, in my opinion, right now, as a fight, and you're giving it to Jinder Mahal. And I'm, like I said, I'm just not, I don't know if I'm just going to tap out on SmackDown. I mean, I see him beat Orton, you know, at Battleground. But, I mean, just Raw was just so much better this week.
It was, yeah.
Oh, maybe.
You know, it was a much more eventful show. But Kenny, your phone's breaking up a little, so I'm going to take what you said there and answer it and then move on. But thanks for calling. I always appreciate your contributions to the show, and I appreciate your congratulations on the new Podcast One show for me. Here's what I'd say. Stick with SmackDown. I put it this way. I'm not going to tell you what to watch if you don't want to watch it, but I'd say don't let Jinder's title reign be the reason you don't watch SmackDown. I would say it would be the reason if he was all over the program. Like, I could understand giving up Raw because of the authority when it was just Triple H and Stephanie over and over, and it was too much. There have been times where people have dominated a show or been all over a show, and it's like, yeah, I don't want to watch a show based on them. Jinder's out for one segment. It's not that big of a deal. Yes, it's frustrating, maddening. You might feel kind of disrespected as a fan or that, you know, they don't know what you like by pushing him into world champion, and you want the world championship to matter. But it's not going to last forever, and he's not the dominant person right now on the show. So they're pushing AJ Styles. You could argue the U.S. title is the bigger title right now than the world title. You have John Cena throwing his hat in for the U.S. title open challenge tonight. AJ's clearly the better wrestler. It's not like he's facing inferior opponents. There's not really a big difference. So if you can kind of plug your nose and bear with Jinder, the concept of a guy who was a jobber now, who you haven't seen a big track record of great promos and matches with, during the stanza in WWE SmackDown history being champion, if you can put up with it, it is just one segment of show. They're not overdoing it. So I would try to not let it bother you all that much because we can't do anything about it. And I just don't know that not watching does any good because I think you're going to miss, you know, some AJ, some Shinsuke, some Sammy, on and on. There's some good stuff also on SmackDown. Totally agree, though. Raw was the better show, the superior show by far this week. I think by design, but nevertheless, you know, very, very much the better show. All right, let's go to our third break here. When we come back, we'll move to Ottawa and Philly. If you want to get in line on the phone banks, 515-605-9345. I might accidentally read that number on my Podcast One show. It won't work. I mean, you can call it, but you might end up calling a different show if they're recording at the same time I am. But I might just habitually give that number out as I throw to a break on the Podcast One show. But that's 515-605-9345. Here's a word about MMATorch.com, our sister site. It is going to have some coverage of the Mayweather-McGregor press conference, so check that out later on tonight. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller. You can follow our brand at PWTorch. And you can follow our sister site at MMATorch. And you can follow our other website at PW Podcasts. You ought to be checking out PWPodcasts.com. If you visit websites at all and you're a wrestling fan, this is one of the go-to sites out there right now. People who visit stick around a long time and they click around a lot because there's a lot of interest and it's updated every day. Great work from Andrew Socek. You can hear him every Thursday here on PW Torch Livecast, and we'll continue to. He and Mike McMahon hosting the post-GFW Impact show. If you're wondering about the name change and what that all means, Scott D'Amore cleared that up really decisively, concisely, on his recent interview that he did with Hannibal. We've got highlights of that right now over at PW Podcast. We also have the summary of the latest episode of We Watch Wrestling with my guest on last Thursday's Interview Thursday here on PW Torch Livecast, that being Matt McCarthy. So we got a review of that and much more. Go check it out. That is pwpodcasts.com. All right. And by the way, also the latest Edge and Christian Pod of Awesomeness, a summary of Samoa Joe's interview with them, including a strange gimmick TNA wanted him to play and why was he so nervous about his NXT debut. And anyway, yeah, go check it out, pwpodcast.com. Let's get back to the phone lines here on today's final episode of the PW Torch Livecast post-SmackDown edition, and we'll go next to Mike from Ottawa, Canada. Mike, thanks for calling tonight. What's on your mind regarding SmackDown?
Hey, Wade, how you doing?
I'm really good.
I just had a general thing to touch on. I just wanted to say, like, there's so many people calling about all the bad with WWE, but I really find that there's a lot of good, and it outdoes the bad, in my opinion. Like, the last pay-per-view was really good, and I think that even after WrestleMania, even with Jinder as champion, it's still been a fairly good product, other than 205 Live, I think, is a failure, and certain aspects of the women's division are really, really hard for me to watch. But other than that, I just think the fans just don't have the patience anymore to wait for things to build up to get a good payoff. So I think everyone just wants change, change, change. And then as soon as they get it, they freak out about it because it's not exactly what they wanted the change for. And they don't let certain people like Jinder actually have time to be a champion and develop as much as they just say, okay, well, just give the title to Sami Zayn because he's a better wrestler. And yeah, I just want to touch on that and get your thoughts back on that first.
Sure, yeah. Well, I think what people want is people who specialize in promoting pro wrestling, it's their job and they're highly paid, to do a really good job across the board, and I think that's reasonable to expect. Fans expect that of their general managers and their coaches and the highest paid players on their sports teams. People expect actors who are given the top dollar and lead roles in movie franchises to represent that franchise well, whether it's 007 or Batman or whatever it is. They want excellence in brands that they're invested in, whether it's a sports team or a movie franchise or what have you. And I think it's reasonable to look at the world championship and the history of it, the lineage of that title, and then to look at everybody who's held it and see this Jinder Mahal name pop out, not just because they're not willing to give Jinder a chance, but that they weren't given an opportunity to give Jinder a chance to prove that he was worthy of it before he was thrust into that spot. And in some ways, it's unfair to Jinder, and so the criticism, to a degree, falls on Vince McMahon and company. I think they were aware that might happen, but they just timing-wise wanted to get it done. But I think it's entirely fair to say, you know what, I don't like a segment where we've got five or six women all standing perfectly angled for a camera, taking turns talking to each other while Shane makes stupid decisions. I think that's fair to criticize. I think you're kind of just eating what you're fed, and you're being a bit of a fanboy or an apologist or a cheerleader blindly if you don't hold WWE to a high standard. And not every podcast does that, and some of them, they have listeners who don't want any criticism. But I respect that fans hold WWE to a high standard, and they look at the McMahon family and their corporate jets and their lifestyle and their riches, and they go, yeah, okay, you're in this spot, you own this company, you're essentially in charge of this wrestling industry for the vast majority of people who like pro wrestling, we're going to hold you to high standards. Now, that said, I don't disagree with you sometimes, a lot of the time, though. I think there's knee-jerk negativity. And I think sometimes, and I'm not trying to play both sides here, I think there are times where people decide the cool thing to do is to rip on something and rip on somebody or some angle. And if Jinder was still awful, I'd be saying it, and I'd be ripping on him. If Roman Reigns was having terrible matches, I wouldn't just be saying he needs to be a heel. I'd say he shouldn't be a top guy. So I think the key is to pay attention every week, because the story changes every week. You can tell the people on Twitter who don't watch every week, or they just hear something, or they tune in now and then, because they're not ahead of the curve or up to date with who's doing a good job who 2 weeks ago wasn't. And I think that's important. If you're going to be critical of what's going on, enter every single week and every single show with an open mind, because the fact is there are wrestlers and writers and promoters and producers and referees and directors who listen to feedback and work hard to improve. And when they do improve, give them credit. So I think that there's times where people do kind of decide they don't like something, and that's it, and they're just going to knee-jerk be critical of it. So I see it as kind of a nuanced argument. I'm not for just cheering on everything that happens, but I agree with you that there's times where it just feels like some people are just negative because being snarky is their thing. And hopefully I don't fall into that category, because I am consciously striving to make sure that I don't.
No, I agree 100% with what you said. I just, the way I watch is I watch on PVR because of my job. And like, if I don't like something, I just skip it. So I don't accept when they do something I don't like. I'll go over it and I'll watch the segments I like, and then I'll kind of skip through it slowly to see what's going on to keep up with it. But if I don't like it, I don't watch it. I don't force myself to watch something that WWE is going to throw at me that's going to make me be turned off from it, because then it'll ruin the taste of my mouth to watch the product in general.
Yeah, and you know, people who watch, let me add real quick, Mike, if you have a second. There's people who are watching like Walking Dead, and if you listen to podcasts on it, Bald Move especially, like, they want to like that show. They love the concept of it. When it's good, they are as excited as anybody. But when it's bad, or there's flaws in the show, or, you know, and I don't always agree with their criticism of it. There's times where I think they're really hard on an episode that kind of strays off in a different direction and focuses on one character, and they just want, like, I don't always agree with them, but I think that they're fair-minded about it in that they really love the franchise. And they're going to watch because they podcast about it, but they're worried that that there's some bad writing going on, or some cheesy acting, or some tropes that they go back to too often. And I think that feedback's important. There's going to be people who are just invested in I was going to say Game of Thrones because that debuts Sunday, Walking Dead, and they're going to watch forever no matter what. I saw Dexter to the end, and I hate watched it for the last couple seasons. I thought it was awful for the last 2-3 seasons. I hate watched it, but I needed to see it through because I was invested in the characters, and I was kind of hoping they'd come back. So, yeah. But here's the thing. There's a reason, and I put up the ratings report on PWTorch.com earlier. There's a reason the average rating for Raw is down 13%. And there's a reason that the core male demographic is down drastically this year. And it's something WWE should be concerned about. And there are people still watching and complaining. But there are also people who are not complaining because they're not watching. WWE should listen to the people complaining, pair them with the people who aren't watching, and say those are two things we should be paying attention to, and not think that we're infallible, not think that we're perfect, and be nimble. If there's something that's not working, change it. Go with it. And I think sometimes they are nimble. If somebody gets hot, like I think Samoa Joe over the next year is going to get a bigger push than Vince McMahon originally planned because he's been phenomenal. At least this week is phenomenal. He's been really good leading up to this week. So I like that. I feel if somebody puts on a good performance that impresses Vince, they'll get a push. And that's part of the fun of watching, too. Sometimes when someone's stumbling or it's not going well, they get phased down a little bit and somebody else rises up. So I applaud people who stick with WWE because they love pro wrestling and they're going to watch it no matter what, but they want to be a voice for change and they don't want to just sit back and take what they're fed. They want to say, hey, I love this. I'm invested in it. I'm not going to walk away from it. But damn it, there's things I don't like, and I need to voice that.
Yeah, I agree. It comes hard to do that every week when there's so much content you don't like to what you do like. So then you just kind of, I can see how people are just fed up and stop watching it because it shows Vince McMahon really doesn't care what the people think. He'll just go with whatever he feels is what he wants to see. That's the way I look at it.
There's times he doesn't care what his creative team thinks because he was the one who wanted Ellsworth to win the Money in the Bank for Carmella, and just about everybody else was against it. You know, I mean, so you're right. There's times Vince just goes with what he wants.
My second question / statement is, in my opinion, I think that Bobby Roode should debut at the Rumble next year at number 30 and win it and go on to win the and be on SmackDown and win the title next year. And just, I think if you did that with his entrance and his ability, he becomes a star immediately. If you take him serious, do you think that could happen? And if it does, do you think that's the right move? Because if not, I feel like if he just comes to SmackDown as any other guy with a nice entrance like Nakamura, he's just going to get lost and they're just going to ruin something great with him.
Yeah, my concern with that scenario, because I think there's times the best thing you can do with somebody is push them to the moon right away if you believe in them. They sort of half did it with Shinsuke and half didn't. You know, they treated him like the arrival of a huge star, but then they booked him with Dolph and he had these even Steven matches with him and it just pulled him down. With Roode, though, I think why you'll not see that with a Robert Roode is Robert Roode he's 40 years old. And he's not 6'5". He's not the most dynamic wrestler. There's not anything that instantly is going to make fans who aren't familiar with his work. And when you look at the audience size of Impact and you look at the audience size of NXT, a lot of people aren't going to be familiar with his work when he shows up at the Rumble. Do you want to build a WrestleMania main event around somebody who the majority of your audience hasn't seen a lot of and doesn't, I would argue, make a mega star first impression? I think with Roode, and I agree with you in general that sometimes there's a risk in just putting someone out there and treating them like normal, but I almost think Roode needs to grow on you a little bit, and you need to just see him work and see him be that as a heel, an arrogant craftsman in the ring, a guy who's very good, but you resent it because he knows it and he talks too much about it. And I think you almost need a slow brew with that. If my money's on the line and I'm a WWE stockholder and I'm selling my stock, 2 weeks after WrestleMania next year, I don't know that I want Robert Roode going from a debut in January to the WrestleMania main event. I don't think that helps business given other options.
All right, yeah, that's fair. I can definitely see how that would work just to let him build on fans. Because, the crossover from NXT to WWE for most talent is really never as good as what you think it's going to be. Like, it's not going to be an AJ Styles that just comes in and just immediately, that's what we want sort of deal.
Yeah, yep. But I hope they do good things with Roode. Yeah, thanks. Good talking to you, Mike. Appreciate you calling tonight.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Very good. I want to take an email. We got Steve from Philly on hold. Steve, hold on for me, and we'll take you next. But I want to get an email in here too from Jermaine from Chicago. I push for emails on Twitter. I want to make sure I get to it. He says, "Hey, Wade, thanks for your new opportunity at Podcast One. I enjoyed SmackDown as I do most weeks. Do you think this is a great chance for Rusev to be a top three heel on SmackDown? As a heel, he doesn't really have too many flaws. He can talk. He can work in the ring. He has a good look. Do you think he can challenge Kevin Owens for the top heel spot?" Also, Maria, will they just keep her as a mouthpiece, or do you think she'll be an in-ring competitor? I see much more from her now that she has improved in so many ways. Thanks. P.S., did Ty impress you with his championship match tonight? Thanks. Ty didn't have a real long opportunity to impress me. No, I didn't do anything to impress me tonight. He was fine. I mean, I looked at him coming out as a jobber to Jinder, and that's frankly where he should be now. Ty's fine as a kind of mid-card guy, I haven't been blown away by him, and tonight didn't really change that. So I thought he would have been a better number two, perennial number two babyface in NXT, or number three babyface in NXT, kind of a gatekeeper to the world title in NXT, or somebody that heels beat up to get heat, and then a top babyface comes to his defense, that kind of role, where he had earned that respect with the audience who was along with him for the ride. I just don't know that they've told the story well with him, and he just hasn't jumped off the page for me so far. As for your first question on Rusev, yeah, top three heel easily. I mean, I'm a big fan of Rusev. It's one of the reasons I'm so critical of him and Lana on social media, just showing this whole other side of themselves and on Total Divas. I just think it was a big mistake. I think it undercut what could have been a believability in his character, at least in absence of evidence that he's sort of the opposite of his character. It's not so much making you believe he is what he is, but the absence of overwhelming in-your-face evidence that he's something very different. And he's done that, and I think it hurts him a lot for people who have seen him there. I mean, there's some people who watch and they're like, hey, they're all actors, and that's great. But there's people, I think, who watch and don't want to be reminded of that. And it even seems like he's less invested in his character. All that said, yeah, I mean, he's on my roster if I have a chance. He has good matches. He's got a different body type. He can cut good promos. I think I'm really looking forward to hopefully a feud between him and AJ Styles. So yeah, absolutely, he should be in that mix. As for Maria, I don't know if she's going to wrestle or not. Good question. I'll ask around on that and try to give you an answer, Jermaine, on that. She might. I suspect there'll be a mixed tag somewhere along the way with someone, Mike Bennett, Sami Zayn, and a friend. Picks Becky Lynch or something off the roster. So yeah, I mean, I think they'll probably do that with her background, but maybe there's something where she doesn't want to wrestle anymore and I don't know about it. But I don't have a definitive answer for you on that one. All right, we're going to go to our last quick break and then we'll go to Steve from Philly up next. So, stay tuned, everybody.
Do you love Pro Wrestling Torch? Then we've got another show just for you, Ring Rust Radio.
Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest topics and news from around the wrestling world, including WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, TNA, Lucha Underground, New Japan, and indie wrestling. Add in interviews with the biggest names in the industry, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Paul Heyman, Kurt Angle, and many more. And Ring Rust Radio has something for everyone.
Check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at RingRustRadio and email us at RingRustRadio@yahoo.com.
We actually have some drama in the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Yes, Renee Young and Shane McMahon and Sami Zayn are chatting away, but might be worth turning on Fox. Interesting drama here late in the game, so check that out. Although it looks like there's a 12-year-old at bat, which doesn't seem fair in a Major League Baseball game. All right, let's go back, as promised, to our phone lines. Let's go to Steve in Philly, who's been on hold for a while. Steve, thanks for calling. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Wade. Thanks for talking to me again tonight. Yeah. Basically what I want to talk about is I've been hearing you talk for a few weeks now about sort of your ideas for Jinder Mahal and his gimmick. I agree with you that the gimmick they're using with him is unimaginative, to say the least. And I really like what you've suggested as far as just like this guy that needs everything to be perfect. And, you know, he thinks that he's perfect and it fits obviously, you know, with his starting with his physique and just how he carries himself. And, you know, I think the touch you said about like fixing the rug, I think you mentioned like when he comes to the ring, I think is great. But I just want to kind of take that one step further, and let's say in this alternate universe that WWE goes with, you know, that sort of a gimmick with Jinder, who do you imagine would be a great feud, or what do you think that feud would be like, assuming that Randy Orton obviously is not the best fit for that, and there is somebody else there. One thing that kind of struck me when I was listening to you last week or the week before maybe was Ty Dillinger, just as far as, you know, his thing with the perfect 10 and, oh, you're not perfect, I'm the perfect 10 kind of a thing. I just kind of wanted to hear you take it a little step further as far as who you think would be a good feud for him and what that kind of feud might be like.
Yeah, I don't like the perfect 10 and I'm perfect because I just don't like a feud being based on a play on words or a pun or an alliteration. Like, I get what you're saying. Like, if Ty were really over and he was over because he was perfect in terms of his record, which isn't happening, or the way he executes his moves or something besides just this carryover from NXT that's just a fun thing to chant, then you would have some foundation for it. And I think, I mean, if Ty gets over and in 6 months from now and Jinder's not world champion and Ty's, you know, moved up the ranks and earned that, then I'm fine with it. I think it could work. But otherwise, I mean, John Cena at some point, I might wrestle Jinder Mahal. I don't know if he's on his dream list of opponents, but I could see that. But there's not a lot of depth on SmackDown when it comes to babyfaces. So you do kind of have to look at, you know, maybe after Jinder's done with his world title run, if that happens anytime soon, then, yeah, I mean, Sami Zayn sort of comes to mind. But I don't know that his insistence on excellence necessarily has to be something he plays off of on his feuds. It's just more kind of the base, a foundation of his gimmick and his persona and what makes him who he is. And then you kind of move forward from there and have other issues. But I mean, yeah, nobody comes to mind who's a perfect fit, no pun intended, for a feud with Jinder if he starts playing up the whole excellence thing. But I don't think that matters. I mean, he's going to be on the roster. The key is how do you make it obnoxious and heelish and get fans to boo him without the foundation of that being that they don't like people with accents or dark skin? I mean, that's just horrible. It just, like, that should not make it pat. Somebody in a booking meeting who suggests that in 2017 should be, like, let go. I mean, it's just that shouldn't be the world that we live in right now in pro wrestling, where somebody goes, hey, I have an idea. Let's have our predominantly white audience, although a lot of Hispanics, a lot of blacks, a lot of people from different nationalities and heritages and colors, skin tones. Let's make our top heel say, you all in the crowd hate me because I sound different than you and have dark skin. I mean, it's such an awful idea. And you're basically playing to a stereotype of why people look down at pro wrestling when the number one heel just happens to be from India. And the reason he says people boom is because, yeah, I don't sound and talk and look like you guys. So just make the gimmick about something else. And then if he can earn it through promos and matches, then he can take his turn with all the baby faces. But the key is get himself over as a heel so fans want to pay to see him get beat.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think, you know, you make a good point about, you know, them, you know, that kind of an approach, especially when they're, you know, not just in India, but just internationally trying to go after, you know, a much yes. broader market. And, you know, to have that kind of approach, it does seem, you know, silly and old school and, like I said, unimaginative to say the least. And I think that, yeah, I think you made a good point last night. I think you were talking about how top heavy Raw is as far as like top stars. I mean, you can think of what, probably 8 to 10 guys that are main eventers. And unfortunately, it seems like SmackDown has sort of the opposite problem a little bit, where there's certainly some good guys and some top guys that haven't really built people up the same way they have on Raw, which is disappointing because it, you know, seems like SmackDown would start out so promising, and now it seems like, you know, they don't have the star power that maybe they should.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't. It's I get the feeling when there's like 1 or 2 weeks where the show's kind of people are like, all right, it's all over. The roster's dead. They can't make the show good. And, you know, Raw, I mean, that, you know, 2 weeks from now, Raw will be bad and people will be all down on Raw again. And they'll forget about how great the show was last night. I mean, there's going to be ups and downs. By definition, there's going to be weeks one show's better than the other. Obviously, you'd like it to be a close competition every week with great spoiler alert for the All-Star Game, extra innings. There's going to be times where both shows are bad, and there's going to be times, hopefully, when both shows are really good and we're debating what the better show is. But, I mean, most weeks, it's just the ebb and flows. One's going to be good and one's not going to be good. I don't think they did anything all that wrong with SmackDown tonight and the lineup. And, you know, sometimes with a roster split, it's going to seem like the roster is somewhat thin, but they didn't utilize everybody on the show. My main criticism, again, was just having two matches that were supposed to happen and didn't happen, and not really having a good reason why they didn't happen after they were supposed to happen and then got interrupted before the bell. That irritated me more than just about anything. So, anyway. All right, Steve.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, appreciate the call.
Well,
yeah,
thanks again. I'll be sure to phone in. There's a good chance I might end up going to Battleground. So if I do, I'll make sure to shoot you guys an email.
Wrestling Night in America with Pat and Greg. They'll be hosting the talk show after that, the live cast after that.
All right.
Excellent. Thanks, Steve.
Great. Thank you, Wade.
You bet. As I said, you've got to follow me over to Podcast One and also start emailing me if you're going to attend Raw or SmackDown, because we will coordinate with you and get you on the Podcast One show to talk about your experience at Raw and at SmackDown. So if you have tickets to any upcoming event next week, the week after, 2 months from now, if you have a ticket, let us know. And that'll be the case. And on the Podcast One show, we welcome having that in-person correspondent provide that kind of feedback. I don't think we had that. We didn't have it tonight. And I don't think anybody said that they were going tonight. So San Antonio, you didn't come through. But anyway, let's take another email here. Steve from Sydney, Australia, says, "Hi, Wade, longtime listener. I love the show. I listen to it every day. Congratulations on your new Podcast One journey. Very excited for you. I have already subscribed as I eagerly await the first edition of your new show." Thank you, Steve. My question is about the United States Championship. I think that the level of talent fighting for what is usually considered an afterthought of a championship is actually upper echelon in terms of star power. AJ, Kevin Owens, John Cena, and perhaps even Rusev soon. Is this an attempt to catapult the significance of the U.S. title? I think it sort of makes gender and the WWE World Championship seem not as important when you've got a long and drawn-out feud between Randy and Jinder, which is quite boring. I am way more invested in the U.S. title personally. What are your thoughts? I think it's happenstance. I mean, I think Vince wanted Jinder to be the heel world champion. He liked the idea for a variety of reasons of going that direction. And he also didn't want AJ Styles to be lost because he knew AJ was over. And he didn't want Kevin Owens to be lost post-Smack Superstar Shakeup. So it's just Vince trying to make the best of both. I don't think in Vince's mind he thinks that the average fan thinks AJ is a bigger star than Jinder Mahal, like the average, you know, kind of mainstream house show going casual fan. And he caters to them because I think there's a belief that the fans who appreciate AJ are going to be with them almost no matter what. I think it can be false sometimes. You can drive those people away. But the ones who recognize AJ's greatness will be fine seeing him lower on the card or, you know, they're headlining house shows. Jinder's not even headlining house shows necessarily. So the two titles are being treated somewhat interchangeably and somewhat equal. But the fact is a world title is what is going to be the more prestigious title. But it doesn't mean it's going to be having the best matches. I mean, during the Hulk Hogan era, the Intercontinental Championship were the matches that I look forward to the most. You know, Tito Santana against Randy Savage, Randy Savage against Ricky Steamboat, Kurt Hennig against Bret Hart. You know, going back even to Don Morocco, I mean, I was watching the IC title defenses back then at house shows at the old Met Center in Bloomington, and those I recognized were the better matches. It's what really made the honky-tonk man title reign stand out, because he was so different than the tradition of how those Intercontinental title matches had been going. So the U.S. title, if it becomes the working title, the four-star match title or whatever, that's fine as long as your world champion is over. So we'll see where it goes. But I don't think it's intentional. I think it's more happenstance. And I don't think that Vince is intentionally trying to catapult the significance of the U.S. title. I think it's more, what do we want to do with AJ and Owens? Well, it makes sense for give them the U.S. title. So what the heck, we'll do it. I think that's really most of what's behind it. All right, Brian from Peoria says, "Hello, Wade. First of all, congratulations on the new show. I've greatly enjoyed being VIP since trying out the Royal Rumble $1 promo code back in January. It's hard to imagine getting through my days without it now. I'm disappointed by the holding pattern that the SmackDown Women's Division has reverted to. Apparently, we're back to throwing all of the women together to spew out one-liners to each other in complaint to babysitter Shane. All for the purpose of setting up yet another multi-woman non-title pay-per-view match. This is essentially the same match we've gotten twice already in the last month, only swapping the Money in the Bank stip for the current number one contendership stip. It all feels so lazy and uninspired. Are they just trying to artificially extend Naomi's title reign for some reason? I'd finally become optimistic about the women's division. And I thought that a different storyline with the women was finally beginning to pick up steam after the second ladder match 2 weeks ago with Charlotte and Natalya seemingly headed into a feud. And, of course, Becky Lynch feuding with Carmella and Ellsworth after being wronged again. But last week, there was absolutely no follow-up from Becky. In fact, she didn't even appear on screen, and tonight there was no mention about it either. Although it was nice to see Becky continuing to sell the knee injury with the tape job. I still find it strange how these storylines have been put back on ice after they had finally started to get things going. What are they waiting for? It seems as if they can't make up their minds where they want to go. They do something good that makes me think they're turning things around, and then they do something like they did tonight and undo it. And whatever this tea-drinking inside joke is with Becky and Charlotte comes across as just weird on TV. Are they just trying to establish that they're friends again so one can turn on the other again? Okay, I think that they look at what they did tonight as, okay, we've got this week's SmackDown, next week's SmackDown, and Battleground. At Battleground, they'll establish the number one contender, and they probably will establish new or go back to those feuds that you talk about being dropped. And that's fine. I don't have a big problem with that. I think it's if we take this, I mean, I don't like the angle. I've already established that, but I don't mind delaying some singles feuds just for the sake of trying to get everybody in a number one contendership match to get them on a pay-per-view. So yeah, I mean, I understand the frustration with it, but I wouldn't worry about it because I think in 2 weeks, a lot of what you're rightfully fretting about a little bit over the misdirection or taking a step back will probably resolve itself. Now, the answer to this is don't put all the women on every pay-per-view. Like, you don't have to do that. Or have two or three women's matches on every pay-per-view. SmackDown's male roster is not so deep that we can't live without a couple of the two, three, four of the men who are on the roster not being on a pay-per-view now and then in exchange for delivering two or three women's matches. And then you don't have to do these kind of shortcut multi-woman default matches. So, there's that. All right. Brian mentioned VIP membership. We couldn't do everything we do here, even with Podcast One Show and PW Torch Livecast and the websites. Everything we do is, the foundation of it is our subscriber base. And those who pay $10 a month or $99 a year or $27.50 for 3 months for access to all of our VIP podcasts. And as much as you hear me during the week for free, and we'll continue to on Podcast One for 4 shows a week, that's actually a fraction of the time of my time doing podcasts. I do the Weight Cutler Hotline every single day and many days twice a day. I host the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show typically on weekends for 2 hours, or like this past weekend, 3 hours. And I host The Fix with Todd Martin midweek, typically for about 2 hours. Bruce and Todd are tremendous at what they do. And they have different perspectives, different backgrounds, they're different ages, they have different passions, different specialties of knowledge, but they are spectacular as co-hosts, as shows that I co-host. They're spectacular stars of their own VIP podcast, we'll put it that way. And if you're not hearing those shows, you're missing out on real top-shelf content that VIP members value. You're missing out on my Monday through Friday Wade Keller Hotline news update. On afternoons, just about every weekday, I post a Wade Keller Hotline news update, reviewing the news of the day, giving my analysis on it. When you hear me on the live cast and in the future on Podcast One, you're hearing me mostly talk about the major stuff on TV shows. But you're not getting my point of view on the breaking news, like Alberto El Patron and Paige, or breaking down and analyzing the TV ratings, or reacting to the latest
90
wrestling,
seconds.
Or our indie note of the week, or whatever the breaking news is that day, and some mid-range tidbits and roster changes, contract changes, compelling quotes, all kinds of interesting stuff I talk about, plus the Ask the Editor format, where I answer reader questions, not just about Raw or SmackDown, but about a wide array of topics. If you really enjoy what I do on these podcasts, I think you'll really enjoy having a wider selection and hearing our top-shelf content from our staff. Sean Radican and his co-host with their WWE Future Pass show that runs most weekends, where they talk about three wrestlers, two prospects and one main roster wrestler. And they spend 15 minutes on each of them talking about their past, educating you, if you didn't follow along with them, on what they did to get the attention of WWE to get signed. And if they thought back in real time that they were going to become the stars that they did, or if they've haven't quite made it yet. So I could go on and on. The Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, reviewing in real time. Great shows and some awful shows from the past, pay-per-views, where they, in real time, provide commentary that you can sync up with your computer. There's a whole array of really cool features that come with a VIP membership, and they're all available on podcast apps where you listen to podcasts now. So when you sign up, you can still listen on your iPhone, your Android device, or stream right for your computer, or stream from your phone on our ad-free, mobile-friendly website. Plus, you get access to thousands of podcasts going back to the early 1990s, the Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show, my Pro Wrestling Focus radio show from the early 1990s, Attitude Era shows hosted by Jim Valley, and all of our VIP archives dating back to 2004. So you can pick out any pay-per-view you want and hear what we had to say about it dating back to 2004, plus our WrestleMania special section reviewing all the WrestleManias from WrestleMania 1, and on and on and on. We have an orientation page when you sign up, pwtorchvip.com/VIPtips. Mark that down when you sign up. pwtorchvip.com/VIPtips. It'll point you to all the really cool places. There is no greater insider library of knowledge, opinion, insights, insider interviews with wrestling's biggest names, audio, ad-free access to written content, and over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter that I published since I was a high school student back in the late 1980s. And you get access to over 1,500 of those when you go VIP. It's a really cool experience. If you like this show and you want to support us, the best way to do so is to become a VIP member, and you get a lot in return. And as Brian from Peoria said unsolicited in his last email, I've greatly enjoyed being a VIP since trying it out at the Royal Rumble, and it's hard to imagine getting through my days without it now. Find out what you're missing. If you like our tone, our approach, hopefully our professionalism and our knowledge and the diversity of opinions, our welcoming of other opinions, but are evaluating of the wrestling business the way that we do and holding everybody who makes big money and has power to high standards and our eye on history and our eye on the future and hopefully a fair-minded approach, you get a lot more of it. And I think you'll really enjoy what doesn't come free here at PW Torch Livecast and at my new show next week at Podcast One. A lot of podcasts out there. A lot of them we offer for free. You can go ad-free with our website, ad-free with a live cast, and ad-free with our mobile site, which is another bonus when you go VIP. The way to go sign up is at pwtorch.com/govip. That is pwtorch.com/govip. That'll give you details on membership, and you're one click away then from a mobile-friendly sign-up form. It's quick and easy. You could probably sign up at a stoplight, and you'll get your password, and you're all set to go. As always, if you have any questions for me on anything, you can reach me on Twitter. If it's related to a subscription matter or a VIP question, it might be better for email. That's kellerwade@pwtorch.com. kellerwade@pwtorch.com. So we hope you'll become a member, and here are some details on those retro radio shows I talked about, vintage radio shows that you can only hear with a PW Torch VIP membership. As a PW Torch Livecast listener, you've probably heard me talk about PW Torch VIP membership. One of the great perks about becoming a PW Torch VIP member at pwtorch.com/govip is access to vintage radio shows that are only available with a PW Torch VIP membership. The entire run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s, over 100 episodes, available when you sign up instantly. Also, on an ongoing basis, we're adding more Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows hosted by John Arezzi in New York, which ran from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. These shows have not been heard since they aired originally on New York radio, and VIP members have access to listen to them exclusively as part of their VIP membership. Also, Total Chaos Radio, hosted by PW Torch Livecast Saturday Morning Wrestling host Jim Valley during the Attitude Era, are also part of a VIP membership, new ones added on a regular basis. These vintage classic radio shows with big-name interviews, guest analysts, including me, on a regular basis talking about the news of the day with the hosts, are accessible when you become a VIP member through our ad-free VIP website. You can stream them right on your phone or right on your computer, but also an RSS feed that is accessible only for VIP members via popular apps on iPhone, Android, and even iTunes. Check it out. It's a big perk that comes with a VIP membership. Get details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Have a blast listening to Familiar voices from this live cast talk about wrestling from the 1990s through the Attitude Era exclusively as a PW Torch VIP member. I do truly believe the best way to experience pro wrestling as a grown-up, as a mature fan, as somebody who loves pro wrestling and craves to understand it more and to listen and read people who have been on that journey for a very long time and provide insight that you probably aren't going to find at the typical website run by, and you know, where teenagers are reporting the news and they're hiring out people to do it who don't know history. You want to be VIP, so check it out, pwtorch.com/go VIP. We are professional grade. Oh, wait, that's taken. Anyway, follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller. Follow our brand at PWTorch. Follow our sister brand at MMATorch. Follow also at PWPodcasts.com. I've thrown a lot at you. First and foremost, job one, go VIP. Job number two, subscribe to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast on the podcast app that you're listening to right now. And job number three, give us a 5-star rating at least, and ideally leave some comments. Visit PWTorch.com. You can read Tom Colohue's Monday Night Rainsometer, the 26th version, weekly version of that show. Did Roman Reigns beat the odds and come out on top again this week? You can read his somewhat snarky, but also somewhat sincere evaluation of Roman Reigns' performance on Raw every week. We also have ROH Hits and Misses. We have a guest editorial, The Hostage Crisis, the price WWE is paying for Vince McMahon's tunnel vision insistence on Reigns being his top act. Check that out right now at pwtorch.com. Also, Rising Star and Fading Star of the Week, McNeil's live blog of WWE Great Balls of Fire. You can read my reports on Great Balls of Fire, Raw, and SmackDown all right now on pwtorch.com with my match star ratings on the pay-per-view. Impact Hit and Misses from Andrew Socek. Greg Parks' take, reviewing Slammiversary, All-Stars and Underperformers for the week, and more. Those are just the editorial opinion columns and features right now on pwtorch.com. We've also got SmackDown ratings, Raw ratings, results from the SmackDown House show on Sunday night in Hidalgo, Texas. We've got two detailed reports on the MSG show from Friday night with the AJ Styles U.S. title win. We have Radican's unboxing of Extreme Hardcore, Extreme Hardcore-themed pro wrestling crate. And, of course, reports on all TV shows. We'll have a report on 205 Live and Talking Smack up later on the site. So much to check out. Go to pwtorch.com, or as a VIP member, get the awesome ad-free mobile site, pwtorchvip.com. When you go VIP, we definitely recommend you go to pwtorchvip.com/VIP tips and click on the link to activate our mobile, our VIP mobile site. It's a specific URL that will bring up an app-like experience that you can create a home screen button for, and it is so superior as a user experience in terms of content and usability and appearance to our free-to-the-public pwtorch.com mobile site that alone might be the reason you stay VIP, especially if you love our content, my TV reports, our paper reports, our previews, and all that good stuff. So check out pwtorch.com. Check out our McGregor Mayweather fight hype article from tonight. That'll be up on MMATorch.com later on. And check out PWPodcast.com. And then, of course, next time you shop Amazon, PWTorch.com/Amazon. Tomorrow, Jason Paul joins me for the midweek flagship. And then it'll be Interview Thursday. Stay tuned to social media and PWTorchLivecast.com for the announcement on who my guest will be on the final PWTorch Livecast Interview Thursday. That'll be a wrap for today. Thanks to my callers. As always, I'm going to miss you guys starting next week. And thanks to the emailers and, of course, all our listeners. And until next time, Wade Keller signing off.